Good day, friends. Jonathan Daugherty here with another edition of the PSR Podcast. Just as a reminder, we're a listener-supported outreach of Be Broken Ministries, and we exist to help individuals and families move from sexual brokenness to wholeness in Christ and equip others to do the same. In today's episode, I sit down again with Phil and Priscilla Fretwell to explore what true intimacy in marriage really means. Together, we unpack how family backgrounds, vulnerability, and faith shape our ability to be fully known and fully loved. Phil and Priscilla share their honest journey through their marriage struggles, healing, and the importance of spiritual and emotional connection, not just physical closeness. We also touch on how intimacy matters for everyone, married or single. So join us for an honest, heartfelt conversation about growing closer, supporting each other, and finding wholeness in our relationships. To learn more about Phil and Priscilla and their resources for couples, visit SavageMarriageMinistries.com. For additional resources, visit our website, BeBroken.org, or go and check out all the links that we're going to put in the notes for today's show. And as always, friends, please rate and review the podcast after listening because this helps others find it when they're looking for this kind of material. All right, let's unpack today's conversation now on intimacy with Phil and Priscilla. Well, all right, we've got back with us Phil and Priscilla Fretwell. Welcome back to the program.
Oh, great to be here with you, Jonathan.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, so it wasn't terribly long ago. It was within the last year that we had you guys on the program, and we had you come on to share your story, and I will direct listeners and viewers to that if they want to kind of hear your story. It was a podcast entitled A Journey of Redemption and Healing that we aired back in October of 2024. So any of the listeners and viewers that want to go back and kind of get the first iteration of Phil and Priscilla's story, they can go do that, because we're going to go into some other areas and we're certainly going to have you guys share a little bit more of your story. But the real focus of today in our conversation is on this idea of the pursuit of intimacy. And so I want to start with just kind of a very overarching question. First, why is that an important pursuit for married couples? And then if you could give us a definition of intimacy.
Yeah, well, you know, I think what we discovered is that we are all looking for an intimate experience with not only God, but also with people. And I don't think we even really understood what intimacy was. Do you, Priscilla?
No, I don't. I think that the Lord's just impressed us with that we, in our journey, did not have intimacy with one another. And it's something that I think every person craves from the beginning of life. They crave to have intimacy with their parents. And then we go on to other relationships.
And so for us, well, the way we ended up defining it's really being fully known and fully loved. And so there's two pieces of that. And so you have to be able to be fully known, but then the other person has to be in a spot that they can fully love.
Okay. So, and sometimes I've even heard, you know, the little phrase that says, even in the word, that you can start to kind of understand what it is, into me see, the idea of
right.
Like having somebody be that you can be totally vulnerable with. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to pick a lot of that apart, and we're going to have you guys even weave some of your story in that. But I think sometimes this is a topic that has had a lot of content on, there's a lot of, you know, resources, there's a lot of conversation that goes on about this. And sometimes you can have a working definition, like you said, to be fully known and fully loved. But then sometimes it's important maybe to talk about what something isn't in order to maybe also understand what it is. Can you think about some things? What would you say are things that are not intimacy, but maybe get confused or even sort of included in what people think of when they think of intimacy?
Yeah, well, I think most people start thinking about sex. As soon as you use the word, a lot of people will start thinking about sex. And I certainly was at that point probably in my life of I would have equated that word with sexuality. But when I came clean 28 years into our marriage and had to share with Priscilla what was going on, my sexual brokenness was apparent. But what I didn't really understand is I was broken in many other ways. I had brokenness in my understanding of spirituality, in my connection with Priscilla emotionally, and then certainly in the sexual area. And so what we've had to do is we have to go back and start understanding, what does it mean to be intimate in spirit, soul, and body? And we certainly had no understanding of that. I think that we were really focused on my activities, and that if we just had enough spiritual, emotional, and sexual activity, it would then bring us to a place of real intimacy. And it just didn't work like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And in the 28 years prior to Phil coming clean, you know, we got along really well. And, you know, we weren't like at each other's throats or anything like that. We were compatible with one another. We liked the same things. We did the same things. We did date night. You know, had sex afterwards. So it wasn't like there wasn't this activity going on in our lives, because we were doing things as a family and also together. Mm-hmm. So I think what we do is we rely on these activities to say that we have like this intimacy with one another. And I think intimacy is a different level altogether.
Yeah. And I still want to keep kind of ramping up to it before we get to some of the meatier stuff. Because I think a lot of times we want to get so quickly, especially couples that are maybe struggling with what it means to really have an intimate bond with one another. They want to get so quickly to, okay, what do I do? What do I do? How do I, what, you know, what do I need to fix? How do I do this? I think it's important for us also to talk about, how do we even form our understanding of intimacy? How do we even form our ideas around intimacy? The fact that you guys, hey, there was compatibility, there was shared activities, there was all this. And maybe you guys had an understanding of like, that's okay. So can we go back even before maybe that you and, you know, Phil, you and Priscilla met one another, maybe all the way back to family of origin? Mm-hmm. And what were you learning even from your earliest days in your families of mm-hmm. what intimacy really was?
Yeah, it's so interesting, Jonathan. We've been actually talking about this pretty recently on what did that look like. And so if I have to go back and try to understand that for my family, my parents divorced when I was 10. My dad left, remarried 3 days later, created a huge vacuum in my life through that. But if I try to go back and say, what did spiritual, emotional, physical closeness, intimacy look like in my family of origin? Spiritual was around activities, go to church, go to Sunday school, all those types of things. I do not recall ever seeing my parents having a spiritual conversation outside of one of those activities. I don't recall them praying together or praying for me. So if you had to have me define what does spirituality look, it would have been, always been attached to those activities. And emotionally, I don't recall. I mean, it's funny, my mom just moved in with us. She's 92 years old, and it's given me a chance to go back and ask questions. And like one thing I don't remember is them telling me they were getting a divorce. Mm-hmm. And I just don't remember. And so I started asking my mom about it, and she said, well, we didn't tell you. I just thought it'd be better if when he moved to another state, you would always have a holdout that he would come back one day. Wow. And I thought it'd be better if you just kind of eased into it.
Whew.
And so, you know, this thing of living in secrecy, you know, we had a home of secrecy. My mom had secrets. I had secrets on what I was doing. My dad had secrets. And so I learned secrecy really as a way of life. There was no being forthcoming. It was all secrets. And then from a physical standpoint, I don't really recall lots of hugs. In fact, it wasn't until I met Priscilla's parents. I remember the first day I met her, we had flown to Brazil to meet her parents. They were missionaries. We got out of the car and they came up and gave me a big hug. They didn't even know me, but they came up and they both gave me big hugs. And that was just so odd to me. I loved it, but it was just so odd.
So I guess you could say that a lot of what was shaping you was around the secrets. You were learning, it's okay if there's entire parts of myself that never come into the light of day, never connect with someone else.
Absolutely.
And secondly, you were also learning, it's okay to be in the quote unquote closest relationships when we think of family and never touch each other.
Yeah.
So you had, I mean, is it fair to say those were huge shaping influences in terms of what you thought was just fine? You can do without these things and it's okay.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And it just, we've gone back and started thinking about how did I learn intimacy? It's sometimes we'll refer to it as an intimacy template. What did it look like in those early years of our marriage? And it looked a lot like what I experienced growing up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, all of us have had this imprint on our souls, on who we are from the family of origin, right? And that's how we operate. And so that's what we're used to. And that's how we meet each other in this imprint that we've had when we are emotional with one another, something from the, it's gathered from the past.
Yeah. So Priscilla, what was your shaping like as a child in terms of your understanding of intimacy, whether it was spoken or not? Like, what were you being trained in when it comes to this issue of intimacy?
Well, like Phil said, my parents were very physical, like, you know, non-sexual touching, because the culture is like that. The Brazilian culture is a lot of hugs and kisses. But the one part that my parents did not do with me was they did not share what was going on in their life. So see, their life was also not a secret, but it was just never discussed. And so I never knew what was going on in my mom's life or my dad's life. But on the spiritual side, my dad was always talking about Jesus, but he wasn't talking about him, but about himself. So it's kind of like you have a person who says everything. I mean, it's wonderful to have a parent talk about Jesus, but I also want to know you. And that was kind of like, you know how they say, well, that's before I was a new creature in Christ. So we don't need to talk about that, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And so it's like, well, I want to talk about it because I don't know you, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And sometimes even when we try to use that idea of, you know, before I was a new creature in Christ, it's not as if you materially changed, meaning like the atoms in your body and the fact that you were the person that did whatever you did prior to that, that's still part of who you are, right? So there's a sense in which we're not totally detached from our former life before Christ. But then how did that translate, Priscilla, for you into your relationship with Phil? What were some things that you sort of learned from that then you realize I brought that into our marriage that maybe weren't really in line with what you guys now have discovered what intimacy really is?
Yeah, there were some secrets, I guess you can call them secrets, in my life that I just, you know, we call it in our book, the Take It to the Grave List. And I just never shared those with him because they were from my whatever family of origin, or when I was a single, you know, all this stuff. And so I never thought that it was a conversation to be had. It was like, well, that's back then. Here we are now in this relationship. This is what's important.
And have you guys started to discover, and we'll get into this a little bit more, have you started to discover that as you've gotten more intentional about understanding what true intimacy is, that those things are not disconnected from what actually has kept you from true intimacy? Like, oh, it's okay that I don't share about those things, right? Thinking again that it's totally in the past and that it has no direct impact on, have you guys been discovering that, oh my goodness, it's all interlinked and interwoven?
Yeah, it is. It really is interlinked. And I think what God has been, he's been very gracious to us to allow us to unpack all this stuff. Because when I first came clean, I unpacked what I had done to offend Priscilla with, you know, porn and massage parlors and all this stuff. But what the Lord took me is I have to go back before, because the things that I did before I met Priscilla that had affected me in my soul have the potential to affect Priscilla and me. And she had no idea what that was. And there were things that I swore I would never tell anybody. But as I started going through sharing these things, it brought us into a much closer level of understanding and intimacy, certainly emotional intimacy with each other.
Mm-hmm. So I have a question then, as you guys, first of all, remind me again, When did your like active recovery and transformation, like when was disclosure and when did your recovery really start, Phil?
Yeah. So it was about 8 years ago. And Okay. Yeah, so it was 28 years into marriage. Mm-hmm.
So my question is from those 8 years ago until now, when did you discover that this recovery journey would be not just about cleaning up secret behaviors or bringing secrets into the light, but that it really was a journey of intimacy? When did some of those lights start coming on for both of you? Because obviously, Priscilla, you had healing to go through in terms of just the betrayal trauma and dealing with those things. And sometimes both spouses can get maybe so focused on those individual needs, which are absolutely right and good, and not realize there's a bigger story at play.
Yeah. I'd say we understood it pretty quick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I wouldn't say we had, Jonathan, a full understanding of the whole thing, right, of where we are today. But if you look back in that, our sexual relationship was broken, non-existent, okay? Our emotional relationship was non-existent because there was so much offense and hurt, right? So the only thing we really had was a spiritual connection. And it's not that we had cultivated it that much. I mean, we had done all the, you know, church activities and mission trips. We'd done all that stuff. But we had to go back and sit down and let the word of God speak to us, disclose the thoughts and intentions of our heart, and share that with one another. And that became the place of connection for us. And then slowly the emotional piece started to emerge, and then eventually the sexual piece.
So Priscilla, before you maybe interject anything there, I want to say something here, because I want to really highlight something that you just said, Phil, because how many Christians, you know, you mentioned about, hey, we have the spiritual connection, emotionally, sexually, we're completely disconnected. And how many Christians are given the message that, listen, it, you know, as long as you have Jesus first, everything will be fine. And yet it's as if you guys were really trying to put Jesus first, almost to the idea of it doesn't matter about our sexual relationship. It doesn't matter about our emotional connection, and also being deceived into thinking, well, I can keep secrets and everything will be, you know. So can you talk a little bit, either one of you, both of you, about how sometimes we don't realize how that Jesus first message might be being interpreted to actually leave out parts of our lives that Jesus actually wants to transform?
Well, I just wanted to kind of clarify something. When this time came in our lives that we were saying it has to be God and nothing else, both Phil and I had come to a place that we saw our brokenness before God, because we saw how much we had offended him and how we both were living, you know? So, and I don't want your audience to think that our time together with God was this hallelujah moment, that we're both looking at our Bibles and all this, you know, wonderfulness is coming out of both of us, because it wasn't. A lot of times we would sit there and I would be really mad and disgusted and not understanding how my life got to this place.
Mm-hmm.
So I just don't want you to think it was all pretty. It wasn't.
Oh, yeah.
There was a lot of hard conversations, a lot of awkward conversations, you know, and so it wasn't a pretty hallelujah moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I totally appreciate you saying that. And I think it's obvious that in that season, that's exactly where God was drawing you to, was to say, there's areas that need further healing that cannot be compartmentalized out of this God first, what the reality of God first means, what the reality of Christ in the center means, right? And I was just saying that, so I so appreciate your heart in that, because I just think we've seen a lot of people in our ministry that they come to us, and when their stories are told, you know, it's so easy for us to as kind of an outsider to be able to look and go, wow, it's easy to see the links between all of your brokenness and how you're disconnecting that from your relationship with God. And that's why I'm saying sometimes people take this super spiritual route of like, okay, I'm just going to focus on God, almost to the detriment of God saying, can you look at your heart? Can you look at your behaviors? Can you look at your, you know, all these other areas of our lives that he wants to heal? Can you look at the lack of intimacy, true intimacy in your relationship with your spouse? And that's kind of what I was trying to say. You're absolutely right. God, when he takes us to those broken places, oh my goodness, it's a sweetness, even if it is really, really difficult.
Yeah.
I think for us, we had to really deconstruct what our spiritual time together looked like.
Yeah.
And I would say it had been religious in the past. It was not religious starting eight years ago. And we had to let go of all the pre-programmed thoughts. And we had to be at a place really where we could minister to each other in that and start to develop spiritual intimacy with each other. Some of this is kind of like horizontal theology. What do you think about what happens? Everybody's focused on the vertical, but you know, John 17:21, Jesus prayed for the disciples and said, I want them to be one like you and I are one, Father. And so there is that closeness that we had to start to develop, which we never had. And I think when we talk to couples, most couples are not spiritually intimate. They're full of activities, but we look at spiritual intimacy as we are seeing, discovering, experiencing really the attributes of God in one another. And, you know, the most important ones you can see easily are forgiveness, mercy, grace, you know, those types of things. And when you see that, it starts to draw you together. And I think the natural outcome of seeing God within each other is a closeness in your emotions, a closeness in your soul. And so if that doesn't follow naturally, then I'd have to go back and question the spiritual connection a little bit.
So let's talk about that a little bit, because I know that we're going to have plenty of listeners that are going, okay, Phil, Priscilla, help map that out for me in a practical way. What does it look like to go from maybe we've been a couple that we've done a lot of these activities. You talked about religious activities. Hey, we're going to church. We're, you know, we're trying to raise our kids in a certain way. We have certain conversations with one another. We talk about our day together, you know. So what dynamically looks different to really go from activity-based, quote unquote, intimacy versus true and real intimacy? What does that look like practically?
Yeah. Well, I think for us, we started changing the objective of the time. You know, if I back up into the 28 years, because we were super religious, right? If we sat down together ever to read our Bible, we'd talk about, wow, Jesus walked 28 miles that day. That's amazing. You know, which has no relevance to me or her. It's just interesting. And so today we come with kind of three questions. God, show me about you. God, show me about us. And God, show me about me. And then what we do is we share that with each other. And it can be very, I mean, we got up this morning and I had a kind of a crazy dream last night that I thought it had spiritual significance. And we talked about that for 30 minutes, I think.
Yeah.
And then I shared it with my mom, you know? And so it's a place of real sharing what's on the inside and bringing that out. And that's a lot different than studying the Bible like a textbook, which is kind of where I probably was 28 years ago.
Let's talk about, and Priscilla, I'd love to start with you on this question. What are some of the fears and maybe some of the obstacles to really entering into this new place of vulnerability with one another?
Well, a lot of people, myself included, it's hard to be vulnerable and take a risk, right? Because you're actually kind of opening up yourself and saying, this is who I really am. These are the things that I fear. This is what I feel I see as a weakness in my life. And now I have to show it to you. And sometimes we want to stay, you know, I call it the social media perfect. You know, you want to show yourself as being perfect to everybody and not the stuff that's inside that's kind of like, oh, that's kind of ugly, but you know, that's what's going on in here. And I think that to be able to display that to your spouse, for them to know who you really are, is for you to know that that person loves you the way you are.
Mm.
you know, to be truly known and truly loved by your spouse. And not only on that side, but the other side is that your spouse is actually helping you along in this journey. You know, the weakness that I have and I share with Phil is a person who I have by my side to help me when something comes up that's going to affect me, you mm-hmm. know? And so I think that's how I see it.
And how do you deal with those things that you know you need to bring up that not only may be embarrassing or whatever, but might also be something that could negatively impact your spouse? Like, what if there's sin that needs to be confessed? What if there's, you know, something that you go, sharing this is going to be hard for them to hear? How do you navigate that to really keep the focus on intimacy?
Well, we've had a few of those. And one thing, you know, we've had a few that haven't gone well. Early in our marriage, we had a situation which we thought we were going to get a divorce over it. Mm. Now, we worked through it in 24 hours. But what we concluded at the end is we said, hey, what did we not do right? And one thing we didn't do is we didn't come before each other and say, hey, I've got something to share. I'd really like us to pray and ask God to prepare our heart to receive and allow us to share in this, because this might be hard to hear. And so I think that was something we didn't do very good in that one instance. But since then, as we've shared things, I think we've done better. We've also become more confident in God enabling us to work through these things with His grace and His power.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we see each other as battle partners. You know, if Phil knows my weaknesses and what I'm going through and I know his, then when the mm-hmm. moment arises that this is affecting me, it's easier to share, like, hey, I'm having issues right now. This is triggering me, you know? So mm-hmm. it's a place of knowing each other in a very vulnerable way that we're backing each other up.
So you define intimacy as being fully known and fully loved. And so there's a component of that that is saying, okay, that's sort of like, that could be considered maybe a goal within itself of like, I want to be known, I want to be loved. But is there a shared goal in intimacy that goes beyond just saying, I want to be fully known and fully loved? Like, what is the ultimate purpose of intimacy in your marriage?
Yeah, well, it's interesting because where is the verse that says they will be credible messengers? Is that in John 17?
Maybe.
21. But there's a verse that talks about that whenever we display this, whenever when we walk in the light as He is in the light, and we are sharing this back and forth, that people will know that Jesus has come in the flesh, right? And so it's like we become credible messengers to those around us as we do that. And we've seen that with our kids. I mean, we had a lot of choices on how we could have dealt with our kids on this. And we decided to come before each one of them and share what was going on in our life and just be really transparent. They were able to see the broken repentance inside of us, each one of us. And as a result, we have relationships with them today that are better than when all this happened. And I think that modeling has enabled them to see that Jesus is real. If He could get us out of this mess, and they know all the details, right? If God can get mom and dad out of this mess, Jesus is awesome. Jesus is real. And He can make a difference in my life too.
Mm-hmm. So I want to, before we wrap up, just kind of take one more angle at this, because obviously we've been talking about this in the context of marriage, and there's one component of intimacy that is strictly reserved for marriage, and that's the sexual intimacy. But as we've tried to talk about, there's this much bigger idea of what intimacy is, that it's intimacy, it's to be fully known and fully loved. And the reality is, as Christians, we know that that can happen whether one is married or not. Can you speak to just the individuals in our audience, whether they're married or not, and help them understand why it is important to go on this journey of intimacy? For their own souls, but also just for what you mentioned, the gospel.
Yeah, well, I think it not only displays, it's a reflection of who Jesus is in our life, but it also, even if you're single, it is preparing you to understand what intimacy could be with another person that's out there. So many relationships start with a sexuality today, and that's happening with most couples before you get married. And so then you get married, and now we've got this whole, it's like the cart before the horse on this, and they have to go backwards. We have many couples, and we have to go backwards and start with the spiritual, then rebuild the emotional, and then go to the sexual, because the sexual doesn't really create anything in and of itself. It's just chemicals and feelings and things like that. And we have to go backwards and figure out what does the sexuality look like as a reflection of the spiritual and the emotional, because our bodies really should display, our bodies do display what's going on in the spiritual and the emotional inside of us. And so I wish we had understood all that earlier, you know, and we are now have some opportunities where we're speaking to teens, high school teens, and we're talking about this message of what does sexuality really represent? What is a full understanding of intimacy, not just chemicals and hormones going off in our body? And most teenagers have never heard anything at all like this, especially from people who are willing to share their own broken story. So it's giving them a different point of view to look at.
Priscilla, did you have anything you wanted to share?
Well, I just wanted to say that, like, for the singleness, I think that when we come with people who are not married, they also want to know us in an intimate way, spiritually and emotionally. I think mm-hmm. they're craving that. I think that it's a lack in the church today that we kind of put singles off instead of kind of bring them in to embrace them into where we are. And they're all looking for that. And they want to have this oneness with the body of Christ. And sometimes I think it seems like we shun them because you're not married.
And almost as if to say, and therefore you can't know any kind of intimacy.
Right.
Like just be in your aloneness. And it's like, no, we're supposed to. So that's why I like the fact that you guys were sharing, obviously in the context of marriage, but the fact that intimacy is much bigger than just how, you know, where we started. So many people, they hear that word, they immediately think sex.
Yeah.
Instead of going, wait a second, what does it look like? A single person can be fully known and fully loved.
Yes, right?
Yeah. That's the deep friendship. In fact, you know, the fact that Jesus calls us friends is possibly the most intimate kind of, you know, connection that we can have, because you can be married and not be friends.
Yeah. Right.
This has been such a great conversation.
Well, I wanted to add one more thing. You know, the thing of the Lord Jesus prayed that we would be one, mm-hmm. like he and the Father are one. And that goes for singles and married.
Yeah, it goes for the whole church. Yeah, right. The body of Christ is meant to be one. So this has been such a good conversation. Where can our listeners and viewers go to learn more about you guys, get your book and resources and things like that?
Sure. We've got a book and a study guide available on Amazon. It's Savage Marriage. And the book is Savage Marriage, Triumph Over Betrayal and Sexual Addiction. And the study guide is Savage Marriage, Overcome Your Past, Fight for Your Future. And you can look up just Phil and Priscilla Fretwell on Amazon and you'll find that. We also have a website, SavageMarriageMinistries.com. And we do coaching there. And then we also have a podcast, Savage Marriage with Phil and Priscilla.
Awesome. Well, as always, it's good to connect with you guys. And thanks again for being so willing to share your story and be with us today.
Hey, glad to do it, Jonathan. Thanks so much for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, you bet. Well, listeners and viewers, we want to help you take your next best step towards experiencing wholeness in Christ. And so reach out to us. We're going to put all kinds of information that Phil and Priscilla shared in our show notes for you to get more resources and take that next best step. We're glad that you've been with us, and we look forward to seeing you back here again next time on the Pure Sex Radio program. Take care.
Pure Sex Radio is paid for by Be Broken Ministries. Visit us online at puresexradio.com.